This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, I know it's NFL season right around the corner when Matt Chatham is able to join us. I love the update here. One wife, two kids, three rings. We love having him on. You NFL analyst from Nesson. You see him on college football coverage, see him on ESPN games. You're now associated. I mean, it's this guy has so many associations because he's good, and he's fearless in his opinions. How has your spring and summer been, Matt? We've talked on Twitter, but not in person. How are you, buddy?
It's been tremendous. I love my off seasons. I'm firmly in that camp about not wishing the football season here too quick. I hate that little community that's, can't wait till opening day. I love my summer. So let's let this camp take its time. We'll get there 4 or 5 weeks from now, but I'm still enjoying the off time with family, too.
I had a tirade earlier on in the show, and you just heard some of it, where I really want to root for the Browns. Like, I really want to see the Browns fan base get rewarded, and I want to like the story very, very much. I find myself more and more sort of being turned off it, though, by all the chat, all the talking, all the me stuff. As a former NFL player and as a champion, as a guy who understands the inner workings of a championship organization, do you see any red flags here?
All I'd say, John, is just the difference between promise and actually accomplishment is like oceans. Like
oceans? Really?
Oceans. I mean, the idea that you've really made some nice offseason transactions. You were on the cusp of almost being a participant in the tournament a year ago. And now everyone, feels great about these 3, 4, or 5 transactions you had. That's great. Getting to the next step is so far. So I think it's possibly, maybe not just a thing about the Browns, but just sort of a function of how society works now and social media and things like that. We have so much stupid time on our hands. We want to crown people this, that, and the other just for potential. And the Browns are kind of the team of the moment right now, and this happens a lot. But, when you sit in a place like this here that has had the incredible fortune they had, and obviously they've made most of that fortune, you kind of get a little bit jaded to the teams that want to be you next. It takes decades. I mean, it just takes so much time to get to this spot. So I really look at the team, the Browns, as a very talented team, like a team that should be taken very seriously. But to presume them 2, 3, and 4 steps beyond where they are, that's just kind of silly to me.
Where do you see the contenders in the AFC to try to put the fans who want to see the Patriots finally go down?
The biggest threats is just teams like the Chiefs taking a step forward. They have to obviously look hard at what they did. They had a tremendous regular season. They've obviously got the MVP of the league. There's talent there all over the place. They really dodged a bullet with Tyreek Hill. Looks like he'll be available. They've weathered the situation at running back. They seem to have made some improvements on defense. But one of the things that typically happens is those teams that sort of put it all out there with a tremendous season and fall short, is you don't just presume that a couple little tweaks here or there get you beyond that point. You got to really be concerned about maintaining where you were prior to that. And that's probably the biggest thing that goes on with contenders chasing the Patriots. And again, from my years with the Jets, I completely see the other side of it too. You don't just presume that, hey, if we switch to A, B, and C, we'll be that much better than we were a year before. You have to understand the ball's moving for them as well. And that's always the tough part, chasing them. So I think the Chiefs are definitely in that conversation because of the depth of talent that they've accumulated, and they've gotten pretty close, but they've got to fix some serious things because that's not a team that's built necessarily to beat the Patriots on the regular season, saw it even in the playoffs at home. So they're one there. They're in the conversation. I kind of look out at Denver, and I know that's not a team that's going to get a lot of popular talk, but I like some of the personalities there. I like that they've kind of sat in the weeds a little bit. I'm not saying Joe Flacco's, I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame or anything like that, but you get a steady presence there at quarterback potentially and sort of a really good defensive-minded sort of program there that could get back to a little more similar to what we were used to seeing. Does that mean challenging the Patriots? I don't know, but I think they could be more of an adjutant maybe than people are expecting.
Matt, if you're a fan, if you have a fan of a team that is supposedly on the rise or talent-wise is on the rise, do you usually see teams, in your opinion, make more of a jump because of new coaching or because of new talent on the roster? What tends to be more prominent as far as the team making the jump?
I tend to think that coaching is probably one of the most important things in the league that, you know, that we don't talk about a lot. And it's not necessarily just the head coach that you see. Coordinators are a big part of it, but there's this pipeline of guys. You know, you look at a guy like Sean McVay, look at the work he was doing before he got the title, before we were, you know, sort of mass aware of what he was doing. These position coaches, say at a quarterback position spot, or say at a linebacker coach, or even a defensive back coach. I mean, how many people could, I'll raise my hand, John. I couldn't do this.
Sure.
Go through the 32 defensive back coaches in the NFL. But this has become such a heavy coverage league. I mean, you know, rolling out 4 and 5 wide receivers on each and every down. You got to have great depth on the back end. That means you have to have tremendous coaching there. Little slip up there, and it's just recess, and maybe you fall back a little bit. So we've got no situation now because of the kind of schemes that people run. It spreads staffs a little bit thin. It puts a real onus on those guys being good. You get the right mix of dudes. And from the coaching standpoint, I think that's really when you make the jump.
If you were to believe teams that will go deep into January, so we're talking about Final Four in each conference as far as the NFC, NFC championship game type of teams, as camps are opening, who would just your gut instinct be?
It's popular, which makes me, you know, I wish I could give you something new and different, but I think the Saints, just they have stability. They have a lot of the pieces in place. I like a lot of the young talent on the defense and as well as some of the older guys. They just feel like a team that kind of arcs in a similar way that the Patriots do. I wrote about this on The Athletic last year, and I really think strategically it's a really good way to go with these older, very accomplished, still very good quarterbacks like Drew and like Tom Brady. But those two guys were one of the top two guys in the NFL as far as snaps taken under center. So the league is zigging, they're zagging. You know, everyone wants to be in gun, and everyone wants to throw it from the 4 or 5 receiver stuff that I talked about. But they were a very run-heavy organization with Drew under center, minimizing the 45 and 55 attempt kind of games and playing great defense. And they are having a little issue now with Mike Thomas, and you hope that sort of gets that sorts itself out. But, you know, Sean Payton is an in-the-fight kind of guy. It's not, you know, multiple championship type stuff, but you always kind of assume he's going to be near there. And they built a nice roster, so it's kind of hard to overlook them.
If I was to say to you the Saints are coming into camp and the last 2 years they lose on the Minneapolis Miracle – and then they lose last year on the, you know, the horrible non-call. What do you say to a team to get their psyche right?
You don't want to be living in the past, right? Well, I think part of the way that you deliver that message is you don't want them to be in those situations where it's so close. That's typically how Bill would take stuff here locally. Hey, bad things happen to you twice in a row. In the Minneapolis situation, do you want to play on that game on the road? It kind of helps sharpen focus in September or October game to make sure that, you know, don't put yourself in a position where you're one play away on the road. And don't put yourself in a position where you're so close with a very talented Rams team down to a final drive to allow the officials to blow it. So I think that's kind of the fuel that coaches tend to use in camps. You know, some random third period where someone has a mental error or something, and then they can show that, hey, that's what brought us down to a final play thing later. So it's more of a coaching thing. They use it. They don't want to be in that spot, but you're right. That team isn't on the cusp. Their history looks entirely different with two different plays.
The other day, you'd be proud of me. I was at a hunting and fishing outdoor expo doing the Buck and Kincaid show in Atlanta. I shot a 8-inch round plate. Okay. No, I'm sorry. A 12-inch round plate from 60 feet away with an air rifle. I shattered it. Should that be impressive?
It's decent. I mean, it's good work.
Okay.
That's not nothing. We'll put it that way. I'm actually today, John. I don't know if Anthony told you, your producer told you this, but I'm off to a clay shooting tournament today.
I figured you were doing something like that.
Yeah, we're off to a clay shooting tournament today with a bunch of the alumni for the Patriots. So this has kind of got to be the fun little annual thing. They've got, you know, guys from my generation going in year after year into the Patriots Hall of Fame. So we have this get together where we all go and shoot clay with a bunch of old guys. And I can safely say I'm pretty terrible at it, so especially with handguns. I'm more of a rifle guy. But my favorite one, John, is the rabbit. where they have the clay that bounces on the ground. Maybe not nearly as far as your shot, but maybe 30 to 40 yards out.
All right.
And it's bouncing across in front of you. You got to catch that on the ground on the way by and then catch two over the top after it. So it's fun, but you really feel your limitations when you do these kinds of things.
Matt, it's a pleasure, and I look forward to talking to you in the NFL season. Thank you, buddy.
All right, man. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.